You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark in chapter number 8. I know what I'm speaking on, and so consequently, it's already been my desire that I'll do this week. I pray that every person in this room would say, that's for me, I'm in. Count me in on this. You know, I know as you turn to, chapter 9? As we turn to chapter 9 of Mark, I know as we turn there, I just know that we are living in a very difficult time. Sin is abounding on every front. I mean, who'd ever realize it would unravel so quickly? I mean, we have in just a few weeks seniors graduating from Bible college, and in their 4 years of Bible college, everything's changed. In fact, in their upper grades, the juniors and seniors and master's students of just this present class, everything's changed in the last couple of years. I'm glad I don't watch the news. I see enough. I have a phone. I see it pop up. I see headlines. I can hear about it. People tell, I've not had a radio on in my car in over 2 years. It's just too, for me, I'm not as good a Christian as it's just too discouraging to me. Everything's a mess. But I tell you what, in the midst of that mess, we are finding, and God's people, we're finding that people are looking for God. Yes, sir. Amen. This auditorium that was empty, 3,000 seats was empty during COVID when we were not allowed to be in here. First time in America's history, the government said one Sunday you cannot go. One Sunday. But it was a two-year ordeal. Then eventually went out to the parking lots and you sat in cars. And eventually, we went into tents out there. It's an amazing thing this has happened in America. Every pandemic and every war, they needed the church. And now the church became illegal in America. And the sad thing is, I think many church members in America like it. But I look at this great crowd in here this morning. If we brought the other crowd in from these other buildings, we couldn't contain it today. God is still on the throne. But in the midst of that, I want to release all of us, myself especially, to fulfill the task that's in this text. If you look with me in Mark chapter 9, the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, and verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned them. And straightway, that word, you'll find it so many times in this book, it just means immediately, and they're interchangeable, immediately or straightway. And straightway the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with him, them? And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I brought unto thee my son. I think when we read scripture, we need to enter into that part of the story now. I've tried to envision that father. We have a son. He's a pastor of a church. We have two daughters there in the ministry. One's a pastor's wife and one's a principal of a Christian school's wife. To have children's a wonderful thing. I think of my only son, our only son who's preaching this morning right now. I would do anything for him. I love him so much. I respect him so much. He loves God. But here's a dad and he has a son and he had a dumb spirit. That was a word that used to be used where there was no way to speak. It bothered his dad. But it was deeper than that. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He was full of demons. And he foameth and he gnasheth with his teeth and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they could not cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you and bring him unto me? May I stop there? That's not the message, but isn't it wonderful to have a God that says, you come on to me. You come to me. All you that are laden, heavy laden, come to me. God's open. His heart is open to you. You have some son that has some type of situation in his life, or a daughter, or a marriage, or a home, or a job, or a health. Just come to me. And the Bible says, and I'm not, when I say me, please, I'm talking about Jesus. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway, immediately, the Spirit spake unto him, and he fell on the ground and roaring, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is this ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Can you imagine this dad, what they was going through all these many years? Verse 22, and here's our text. And oftentimes he cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And what's those last two words? Read them together. Ready? Begin. Could you say it one more time? Like it's all on your heart. Can you see this dad crying out? Can't you help us? Can't you help us? Let's say it together. What are the last two words? Help us. I want to release you in just a few moments. I'm going to ask you to look everywhere you can to find people you can help this week. So, I like a church like this. They want to help me. Here's my list of things. You're going to miss the message. It's not what you can get out of people. Life is what you can give to people. I preached not this message. I don't know what it was, but probably 40 years ago in the old building over here. And as I preached at the door, the lady said, I like that message. Now, here are the things I want this church to help me with. She missed the message. John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? And today I want to ask you, could you go out this week and find people you can help? They might be young, they might be elderly, they might be sick, they might be healthy, they might be couples, they might be single adults, they might be widows, they might be widowers. They might be those that are living on the winning side and happy in life, or they might be in bereavement this week. They might be poor, they might be rich, they might be educated, they might be uneducated. They might be red, yellow, black, brown, or white, but it doesn't matter. They're all precious in His sight. It might be the police department, it might be the first responders, it might be the police department, it may be the military today. It may be business people that I can help this week. It may, who knows what, it might be mean people. It might be kind people. But I'm going to ask you to leave here. And as his father said, help us. Seek to find people that need your help. By the way, that's where victory is. Well, I want to be helped. You missed it. Because God says in Acts 20, Jesus said, it is more blessed. Blessed means happy, fulfilling. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you are looking on the receiving end, what can I get out of this? You have missed it. You cannot run for office unless you promise, I'm going to give you this. Here's what I'm going to give you. By the way, government has no ability to give to anybody because it's not their money, it's ours. And so when they say, we want to give you free health care, there's no such thing as free health care. Because Joe that's sitting next to you is paying for your health care. The problem is when government tells you have to do that. You see, today, there's no such thing as you run for office as free health care, free education, free forgiveness of your student loans. That's a violation of the Word of God. If you create a bill, you should pay that bill. And if you don't pay the bill, you say, well, I want to have my education. That's for you to figure out. Get quiet in here now. Free rent. I had my utility bill. So we can help you, assist you, free utilities. I said, well, yeah, look at my bill. So I'm helping that. Look, I'm all for helping that. And I'm going to show you today how to do that. I want to help everybody. I'm not against the guys paying their bill, but I'm against government telling me what to do. They've taken the giving out of an individual and placed it in the government. Government has no heart. It cannot have heart. It's an institution. Wait a minute. Individuals have heart. And we begin to freeze up the well, the reservoir of giving to our neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, as I said. If my neighbors on both sides or around us had a financial need, the utilities was going off, I would pay the bill. I'm not suggesting let's not help people. I'm suggesting government ought to get their hand out of it. Free biological chain surgery. Free mental health. Free, 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 free. Great societies are not built off of receiving something free, especially from the government. Great societies are when the individual knows it is more blessed to give than to receive. Today I want you to see how we can become a giver. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about that little elderly lady that went to the grocery store. She frustrated you because she was going 18 miles an hour holding on that steering wheel like that. And it frustrated you because you had to slow down. And you're honking the horn to get her moving, scaring her to death. And now she comes home and she pulls in her little driveway and she's trying to get those groceries. I'm talking about you go outside and you help her with the groceries. I'm talking about she's not raking her grass or the lawns or the leaves or whatever it might be. I'm talking about let's go ahead and do it for them. I'm talking about the lawn is getting big. Oh, that lady, she ought to move out. She needs to go to a nursing home. She can't keep up in her yard. Well, she could if you would do it. You see, that lady's car is filthy as can be. Filthy, filthy, filthy. No wonder why she drives like that, or he drives like that. They can't even see out the windows. Well, we could go wash it. Sister so-and-so or grandma so-and-so next door, do you have a hard time at that gasoline pump? I sure do. I have a hard time. I don't know how to push all those things, and I'm always so frustrated. I'm afraid. Could I take your car and go do it? How can I become a person that helps everyone? How can I become a person like that? The Bible tells us right here. Look what it says in chapter number 9, verse 20. And he brought him unto him. And when Jesus, what's this next word? When Jesus saw him. Look at verse number 14. And he came with his disciples and he saw a great multitude. He sees a great multitude. He sees a father. Jesus always had his eyes open on people. I know I'm giving something away to you. And somehow my eyes have not adjusted to these new lights in here. A year or so ago we put it, and I like them. They're wonderful. They're great. But I can't always see like I... every little nick and corner, every corner of this auditorium like I used to. But wait a minute. When we're singing, Blessed Assurance, I guess you see me looking around. I'm looking for you. I'm looking who's here, who's not here. I'm registering in my mind absentees. I'm registering in my mind that man's not singing. I wonder what burden. It's not like, he's backslidden. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking, I wonder, it must be carrying a burden today. Maybe I can't meet every need, but maybe I could stop by on the way out and just shake his hand and say, God bless you, sir. How you doing today? I'm so glad you're in church today. You know, a smile will go a long way. You know, a handshake will go a long way. Did you know that thank you for coming to church and go a long way. Amen. You know, a son to your little boy, you did such a good job sitting in church today. You know, to your wife to say, I'm so glad I'm your husband. Jesus saw needs. needs that need to be met always need to begin in the home. You see that your wife has a need. You see your husband has a need. You see your children have a need. You see your grandchildren have a need. You see your brother or your mother or father, your brother, your sister has a need. Jesus looked everywhere. Go back with me to chapter 1. Chapter 1, and we will not go through the entire book of Mark, but just a few. For you see, John, Mark chapter 1, verse number 16. And as he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two men, Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting net for fish. And he said, come after me and I'll make you be fisher's man. By the way, notice what it says in verse number 19. Get ready to read with me. And when he had gone a little further, thence he, what's the word? Saw. Who do you see this time? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, mending their nets. Jesus is always looking. Go with me, if you will, to chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Brother Cooper spoke on this on last Wednesday night in church. And here was the roof, and they could not get the man inside the house. And so they bore him. He could not walk. He had the palsy. And four men put him on a cot, and they walked him. They had to open up the roof of the house. And when, verse 5, Jesus, what's the word? Saw their faith. Jesus is always looking at a crowd. Sunday school teacher, look at the children. Here's a little boy being disruptive. Well, there's a reason why he's being disruptive. I can't be, well, we don't talk to kids that way. You go, I've never understood with, Joe, go stand in the corner. I don't know why your elementary teacher always had you standing in the corner, brother. You must have been you deserved it, didn't you? I doubt that. Jesus, he's always looking. He's always got his eyes open. When I was taking driver's training, when I was 15 over here in Centerville, Irvington, Fremont, Centerville District in Fremont now, I can remember they had a car, a brand new car, the Plymouth dealer let us use. And the first thing our instructor said, you always have to drive defensive driving. You keep your eyes on what's going ahead. You keep your eyes, he said, there's a lot of ladies on the road. Now, see, you have evil hearts. I meant you're supposed to be careful and not hurt them. That's what I meant. There's a lot of men drivers on the road. There's a lot of ladies on the road. There's a lot of people. And we live in a day today where people have these things. They put them up in their ear. Now you're not supposed to, and you talk on the phone. And we've got everything going on. I'd like to get off the subject for a minute. I'd like to get off the subject and talk about at the stoplight when everybody's head is down and it goes green and everybody sits and the guy at the last, which is normally me, honks the horn and they all get through the yellow light but me. I'm not going to help those people. I'm going to get my car and push it forward, I guess. But you know, we live in a day where everywhere you look, you've got to keep your eyes open. Notice what the Bible says, and I'm trying to go quickly here. If you'll go to chapter number 2, verse number 14. And when he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. Chapter 6, and notice in chapter number 6, when he's going to feed the 5,000 men. And Jesus, verse 34, when he came, he saw much people. He was moved with compassion. And the disciples said, here's the answer. Matthew tells us, send them away, the disciples. Get rid of them. Get rid of these people that are poor. Let's get rid of the boys and girls. Let's get rid of other nations of the world. Let's get rid of these people. Oh, but that's not what Jesus said. He saw the crowd. He said, not only were there men there, but women and children. He saw them all. And he said, I want to feed them. The disciples said, there's no food here. And he said, well, what do you have? We have a little lad. Jesus saw the lad. He saw the lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he did something, what he saw. When you drive into your neighborhood today, would you look around your neighborhood? Would you see what maybe you could do? When you drive at home and you see your neighbors there in that apartment or in that condominium or in that townhouse or in the house or wherever you live, would you see that maybe this week I could do something for them? Could you see your mother and dad, if you have parents, Maybe I could do something for them. Some of you dear folks, we're reaching toward, we're going toward 2 weeks from today, Easter. Maybe it's difficult for mother to get out. But maybe one last time, mother would like a new Easter dress. And maybe you could say, Mama, can we pick you up? I know you live 50 miles away. Can you come spend the night with us on Saturday night and we'll take you to church and take you home? Maybe she just liked that. And it may be her last one. How about Mother's Day coming? Next year, Mother's Day, it's in the month of May. You may not have your mother. You love people while you have the opportunity. Jesus got his eyes all the time. I go to elementary chapel and I'm having a good time every Wednesday, but I'm watching those kids. I'm watching with my eyes wide open. I'm not looking how I can get them doing wrong. I'm looking to try to find out what's going on in their heart. I watch these little kids that you could tell some of them, God's drawing them to salvation. And I don't want to be the one to try to, at that moment, start telling them because I want the Spirit of God to move in their hearts. I watch those junior high and high school, 6 years of school in high school, one of those kids, or all those kids are going to face a bad day, a bad week, a bad semester, a bad subject, something that's difficult. Ah, you know what? You're just a lazy kid. If you would learn to do that mathematics, you wouldn't be so stupid. No, we don't talk to people like that. I wonder, Johnny, I'll talk to your parents. I wonder how I can help you and tutor you a little bit for your mathematics. You're a smart boy. I've always known you to be smart, but you're struggling in this area. I go back to that sweet elementary teacher, Mrs. Roth. I stood at her coffin a couple years ago, 97 years of age, my sixth grade teacher. She was the best elementary teacher I had in my life. When I tried to convince her how dumb I was, she tried to convince me, Jack, no, you're not dumb. You're a smart boy. I thank God for Mrs. Roth. I want you to know Jesus was looking. We won't go. He saw a blind man. He saw the great multitudes. Can we get our eyes? He saw an opportunity. He saw every time an opportunity. He saw an opportunity. Secondly, he seized an opportunity. Once you see it, you got to do something about it. He seized it. Notice in verse number 21, we're back there in chapter number 9 and verse 21. You're listening so well. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came unto the child? He said, unto him, he said, as a child. And Jesus begins to deal with him, how he can heal him. In verse 27, and Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He simply did not take time to get information. He received information, and he saw something, and he seized it. I can do something about this. With a color. I admire you, all the adversity, but you stay true to God. You're preaching right now. You're 3 hours ahead. You're preaching right now. I'm praying for power. And he said, I'm not preaching right now. I'm in the emergency. I'm having heart troubles. I said, can you talk? He said, yes, I'm alone. And I talked with him and prayed with him. It's your pastor when you grew up. He's a good man. Watt lost his wife young in death with cancer, lost his leg with cancer. He suffers, had a stent put in recently. What a good man. He cooks his meals. He's alone these days, and he's a lot younger than I am. I think of that preacher in Illinois. He called me, he said, Brother Treeper, my wife just died last week, just passed away. You know, there's people everywhere that need our help. They just need our help. Brother Cooper and I, we don't preach. I don't even try to go out much preaching anymore. I like to stay right here, but we are preaching in Georgia this week. I saw so many people I could help. I saw that little four-year-old boy with spina bifida in that wheelchair. I sought to help him and do something for him. I saw those preachers' kids and try to do something for them. I want to tell you something. Miss Treiber, she knows this. I watch her. She lives to help people. I think I pastor the world's greatest church. That's your spirit. Your spirit is, how can I help people? I just looked up here and I know you talked a person out of buying something and you could have made the money off the deal. That's the kind of church I pastor. Not ripoff artist. Not how can I take advantage of you? How can I make this for me and turn it toward me? Jesus saw a need and then seized it everywhere he went. Pat Carr, you sang many years ago, 40-some years ago, everywhere he went, he was doing good. I'll never forget it. It was in an Easter cantata, if I believe, if I remember. And everywhere Jesus went, he saw people. He touched them. He tried to help people on the journey of life. We're about out of time. We are out of time. I want you to see this. Not only did he see things and seize things, he stayed with it. As you look at this book, no man of the year banquet was held for Jesus. I hope that doesn't sound irreverent to say it that way. They didn't put his credentials on the headlines in the newspaper. They didn't have a banquet or a plaque or a trophy because true givers do not need men's applause. Go back to chapter 1 quickly. We'll wrap it up. You see, just because he saw one situation and sees that, he continued to see situations. In chapter 1, in verse number 29, 30, and 31, he saw the situation of Simon Peter's wife's mother laying sick of fever, verse 30. And he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. If we had time, we'd go to verse 40, the leper. He saw, you see, you just don't see one and say, okay, I got my good deed of the day done now. He saw Peter's wife's mother. He saw those fishermen. He saw a leper. And if you've ever been in a leper colony, I have. It's very sad, Brother Pusin. We've been there. Very sad situation to see a leper colony. And see fingers missing, or toes missing, or leg missing, and arms missing. And Jesus went where people did not want to go. They would put them outside the camp, outside the city. And he went and he touched the lepers. The Bible in this chapter, in this book, he touched blind people. He touched a 12-year-old girl that could not walk. And dad came to her and says, could you help my daughter? And God used Jesus to touch a teenage child. A woman came who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she suffered, and she'd been to many medicines and doctors and things, and Jesus touched her body, and she was made whole. Everywhere that Jesus went, he had a man who had a withered hand, and he touched that hand, and he healed that hand. He saw opportunities. He seized opportunity, and he stayed with it. He had a man who was deaf. He touched him. He touched a man's mouth so he could speak again. He never had spoken. I want you and I want myself to stay with this for a lifetime. We're out of time. I've been singing this week, this song, and I won't have you singing. It's 4:57. I'll just read the words to you. Look all around you. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today, though it be small, some neighborly deed. Help somebody today. Help somebody today, some brother along life's way. God wants us to help people. Always take time for the children. Little children come and as much as possible get down like this level. Speak to them eye to eye. Don't be a giant towering over them. Get down on their path. Talk to the babies. Talk to the little babies that cannot talk. Talk to the mothers and dads that are raising those babies. I honor all the parents. This morning you got up early and you had to get all these one-year-old or one child or two children or three or on and on it goes. Get them ready for church and get them here. Then get them in the nursery, get them to class. That's a heavy responsibility. I commend you today. I command you, you're the mother that child needs, a godly mother, a godly father. God bless you. I commend you, ladies that are raising children alone, our husbands that are raising children alone. I commend you that have been in the jails, and now you've just been released, but God bless you. You know where you found and wound up? You wound up in God's house this morning. Had someone recently said, Pastor, I don't feel worthy to go inside the auditorium. I'm coming, but I'm not going in. And the sweet lady meant it from her heart, just a wonderful lady. I know the lady. I'll tell you what, if she can't come into God's house, then I should not come either. Let him without sin cast the first stone. A man came and he got saved. He said, I want to come, Pastor, but look at me. And he was tattooed from head to everywhere tattoos. And I said, you come in our church and watch how our people treat you. You won't be treated like dirt and scum of the earth like you think you are. You're somebody. Amen. You're somebody's child. Amen. And you'll be loved at North Valley Baptist Church. Oh, no, child of God, I want to tell you something. Here's a great song. Many are waiting. Listen, many are waiting a kind, loving word. Help. You may not have money, but it could be a kind word. That was the message. Oh, let it be heard. Help somebody today. Many are burdened with heavy, too heavy to bear. Grief is the portion for some everywhere. That last stanza says, some are discouraged and weary in heart. Well, y'all just suck it up. It's not always that easy to just suck it up. It's not always that easy to just get over it. You'll get over it. Well, maybe not for a while. That last line says, someone is journeying to heaven. Should start. Help somebody today. There's two words this father cried out, help us. Could you just help us? I'm going to look, and I know you will too. I'm going to look for everywhere I can to help people. I'm going to look. I don't want to help every category. On Sunday night, one of the thrills of my life all these years is sitting right here. And I just sit here. And those little kids come by, and I talk to them after church. It's one of the highlights of the end of a day to talk to your little kids. Pastor, you know what I can do now? What can you do? I jump off two steps. In God's house, you're going to do that? I said, you can. One little guy said, yeah, I can jump way from up here. No, don't do it. And there's my grandson going down. Old Landon, there he is. Hey, I want to tell you something. I pastor the greatest church in all the world because you're helping people. Brother Kissel yesterday, Brother Flood said, lead us an opening prayer at the bus meeting. Before you do it, tell us. He's my insurance agent for probably 25 years now. He said, tell us how you came to church. He said, March the 28th, 1983. It's going to be 40 years in 11 months. The bus stopped by and picked me up and brought me to church. Brother Flood said, we have two girls. They're both on our staff now. Come and give your testimony. And those Reyes girls, just ran into one of them going to teach Sunday school this hour. And those girls stood so poised, so Christians, spoke so strong, you could hear them, positive. Proverbs 31, and they said, the Filipinos stopped by our house, Christina Martinez's bus and all those, and they knocked on our door on Easter Sunday 9 years ago. And we got saved. My brother, who's in Bible college, got saved. My mother and dad got saved. And they said, you know, and they began to name the names of ladies and men and people in this church that have spent the last 9 years of their life investing in them. Investing in them. You know, today, I don't want our church to ever lose that. Help us. Could you help us? Our Father, our heads are bowed. As our heads are bowed, I pray, dear God, that you would cause us to be released from this place in just a few moments to help people. May we look for opportunities. I want to help everybody I can this week. Perhaps someone at a store will be short with us. May we not follow their example. May we be kind. Perhaps someone will go to a restaurant and eat, and the waitress, or man or lady or waiter, would be very short and indifferent and casual. Maybe we could leave them a good-sized tip. Help us to be kind to everyone. I think of this dad. Oh, how many years that he suffered with his boy's condition. See his boy throw himself in the water and seek to be drowned. See his son throw himself in the fire. See his son foaming at the mouth, demon-possessed. But Jesus took time to see it and to seize it, and he just kept staying with it everywhere he went.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.